Good morning. We're glad to have you here this morning. And today is Reveal Sunday for Building by Faith. And it's been a six-week journey we've been on as a church to try to look to God for his generosity and the vision and the purpose and everything that he's planned. And so we've said for a few weeks now, today we were going to reveal and celebrate. So we are ready to do that. In first service, we had a drummer, but we've got a good pianist. So I'm going to get a piano roll going here for our number. Our reveal total today is $2,845,285. Let's give the Lord a hand for what he's done for our church. Our base goal was $5,200,000. We didn't reach that goal, but we're 55% of the way there. And so I canceled the confetti cannons today, okay? We are celebrating the number, but we don't have our goal. But that's okay, because we really, as a committee, as our campaign directors and staff, we really didn't know what the church would do in this. We had one, the Enjoy Stewardship Solutions, looked at some of our financial records over the past 3 years, and they gave us a number of about $2.5 million that they thought we could raise in this campaign. Our architects, as we were talking about buildings and phases, building one, phase two, phase three, and we said, well, we don't know what the church will give, so it's hard to identify that. They identified that it would cost about $5.2 million to do a substantial, meaningful phase for a fully developed project, and so that was what we set the goal for. Again, not having experience with this, with the church, of what we were doing, of what might be giving, and how God blessed, but we are certainly proud of that number that we have gotten there, and we are proud of that, and we are celebrating it, and we're not, worried, because we think that God's got this. We'll flip to the next slide. What now? We're gonna ask you as a committee and as the directors to just keep praying. We are all praying for what God would lead us to do in wisdom, so we just want you to keep doing that. Our campaign directors, we're going to continue to monitor additional BBF funds that came in. I had a young lady that came up and gave me a card this morning during welcome time in the second service and said, I'm late. We are getting contributions continued every day. So if you want to continue to give, find a card, go online, do whatever you want to do to continue to give, or whatever the Lord leads you to do. In first service, Joel said, open it and see if it's a big one. But as we've told you, all this is kind of confidential, so we'll make sure this one gets turned into the church secretary, financial secretary, like all the rest of them. The long-range planning committee, we will continue to work with the architects. Now that we know we're not talking about a phase A and B together, we'll be doing one phase of trying to get a youth building done. We'll go back to the architects. They were here this week, and we've talked to them a little bit, so we will continue to develop plans. And the budget that we threw out there was not, a hard budget, because we didn't have a hard building design. So now we'll work on all of that, and we'll see where we can go from there towards a youth facility. Your money is deposited. It's earning interest. Brian and all the team take care of that, and so that money is there. And we are not going to spend that money nilly-willy. Everything that gets spent out of that fund that you have contributed or pledged or whatever will come before the church leadership of trustees, deacons, go through church business meeting, either a special call or a monthly meeting. So don't worry about your money that you've given it and it's just going to be spent nilly-willy. You will always have an input on whether we make that choice or not of what to spend the funds on. And most of all, don't be discouraged or disappointed. We didn't reach our goal, but we're here today to say that God's got this. Brother Paul and the Spiritual Journey team gave us these little dog tags, and I've had this on my key ring for the whole 6 weeks that we've done this, and I hope that you have had God's got this too. And if you believe that, say it with me today, God's got this. So we thank you for that, because like I said, we're know that everything is in his control and in his timing and the generosity that he done. But we do want to celebrate. There's been a lot of great things that have happened in the 2025 calendar year so far. We started with spots. It seems like forever ago, But we started with spots, and year to date we had $588,000 contributed to that, which is incredible. We got the parking lot completed. We were reviewing plans for the updated fellowship hall, and we hope to have something to present at church business meeting, hopefully as soon as the December business meeting on that, and get started on that piece of the puzzle of getting the spots funds taken care of. And so then we roll to building by faith, and as we said, 2845, 285 was the whole thing. We had $705,390 given in first fruits. That's amazing. From our understanding, historically, that is the largest amount of money that's been contributed for a special project in a six-week period. So give yourselves a hand and God a hand for his generosity in that. And then we have pledges for year one of $909,915, year two of $701,565, $528,415 for year three, so a pledge total of $2,139,895. God is good, so let's raise that number as well. And I couldn't go away today without saying thank you to all the people that have worked so hard. I've been up here speaking to you a lot, but there's a lot of people that have worked and helped and supported. And so I want to thank the Long Range Planning Committee, the Building by Faith campaign team, church staff and leadership. They have been absolutely great in helping us. Everyone who prayed, each one of you, and everyone who gave or pledged or is going to give, we just want to thank you today. So give yourselves a hand and each other as we do that. And most of all, we want to thank God. Without him, we couldn't do nothing. We would be nothing. What we're doing here is for him. Our generosity is for him. And so I'm going to ask you to stand all at once today, and we're going to repeat after me, God is good, and y'all are going to all stand if you can. And choir, y'all back me up with some good, loud, vocal, repetitive reading here. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
We thank you again for all that you have given so far. Continue to pray for us. And Brother Joel, if you'll come up and give us a prayer of thanksgiving, I would appreciate it.
Father, we're thankful. We are grateful for the gospel. We're thankful for the good news that you give to us, light in darkness. Thankful, Father, for a vision for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road as far as First Baptist Church has continued to proclaim to know Christ and to make him known. And so we're just so grateful and thankful to this point. 6 weeks we've been shining the light on building by faith, purpose, vision, and generosity. And we're just thankful, Father, for this day that we celebrate all that you've done to this point. Now we realize, Father, that we're just getting started. And so we're excited about the future, about where we're going, what we're doing, the vision that you're giving to us. We celebrate today the gifts that have been given and the work that has been done and, Father, the future that we have in store for us. And so we're thankful for that vision. Bless us as we continue to worship. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Yeah. to sing and shout about the victory that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's stand and worship, exalt His name as we sing, crown Him with many crowns.
I want to welcome you this morning. Glad you're here. Thank you, Lyndall, for celebrating and helping us to celebrate what God is doing to us and through us in the life of this church over the next several years. And so excited to be in that place and in that position. If you're a guest with us today, we are so glad the Lord's led you to worship with us. Take a moment, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today. Thank you.
As we think about building by faith and the sermon series that Brother Joel has brought to us, the vision, the provision that God gives, generosity, just the faith that comes along with that. Part of it is sacrifice and us giving our lives to the Lord. And so I hope that you'll think about that as we sing through these choruses now and worship. The sermon today is from Romans 12, 1 and 2. And the song, I Offer My Life, is based on that scripture. So sing along and let's worship the Lord together. Take our lives as a living sacrifice. Let our life be holy and acceptable to you. Lord, let us do spiritual acts of worship, reasonable service, that we would truly follow you with our whole heart and be passionate as we serve you. And we thank you for the victory that comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen. This morning, our offertory hymn is number 353, Victory in Jesus. We'll stand on the last stanza and receive our morning offering. Let's sing with power and gusto and authority this morning as we sing Victory in Jesus. Thank you.
Please join me as we pray. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you today for this beautiful day. Thank you for those folks who are here today, those who are not with us, Lord, but a special blessing on them. Lord, we're so thankful for your love, as a hymn says, that you love us and saved us. And Lord, we have so many blessings with thanksgiving upon us. Help us to have thankful hearts, to know that you are the true blessing. But God, just open our eyes and help us realize how blessed we really are. I think sometimes we forget that, and Thanksgiving rolls around once a year, and it reminds us, but let's be thankful every day. Lord, we ask you today to accept these tithes and offerings today and use them as you would to further your kingdom. And in your Son Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
That's Bill and Nan Kane's grandson, John, if you don't know John, John Mitchell. John's been coming here since he was little. And every time he comes in, he's going to find the piano, either in here or in the choir room. John, for the rest of your life, as long as, well, let me say, for the rest of my life, as long as I'm here, you have a place to play when you come to visit. He always seeks out Karen and me when he gets here, and he played all during the in-between services today, and it was beautiful. We appreciate you, and I love his passion for the Lord and his passion for music, so I hope that you'll continue that. Keep serving the Lord by playing and ministering through music like that. Great job, John. Thank you so much. I know the grandparents are mighty proud. And they give me an update quite regularly about you, John. So just know that you're prayed for and you're loved right here at First Baptist. We'd like to sing a song that goes along with the message. Our spiritual act of worship, our reasonable service, is to worship the Lord. That's why we were created. That's why God sought to have a relationship with us, so that we could be with him and he with us. So if you know this one, you probably do, sing along, please, and let's worship the Lord together, because it's all about him.
Oh,
Thank you, choir. Thank you for leading us. We're talking about sacrifice today, our lives sacrificing to the Father. And we're going to see that today from Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is our last day that we're going to be in building by faith. So next Sunday, we will really turn to Advent, and we'll start thinking about Advent and missions and those kind of things for the month of December, end of November and month of December. But building by faith. So we started this back in October the 19th, and we've moved to all the way till today. And so we have been talking about stewardship. What is stewardship? What does it mean to be a manager of the estate? God has given us everything. He owns everything. And so what does it mean then to be His manager, to manage the estate? What is the estate? The gospel. So what does that mean, to manage the gifts, the wondrous gifts that God has showered down on us? So we've talked about purpose, and we've talked about vision, and we've talked about mission, to know Christ and to make Him known. So that's why we're here. We're not here to have a good time. We're not here to do this or to do that. We're not. All of those things are byproducts, and they're great, and we love those things. But we have one purpose in being here, and that is to worship God the Father and to make Jesus known in our world. That's our mission. We talked about generosity. What does it mean to be generous? What does it mean to say, God, You own it all. I'm Your steward. I'm Your manager. And what does it mean then to be generous of those gifts so that the light of the gospel can be carried out into a dark, dark world? So we've dealt with all of those things. In essence, what we've basically said is that God has given us everything. Everything is His. Everything we are, everything we have is because of Him. We're now His children. And as His children, we're called to manage His estate, the gospel, while we're here on this earth. As His children then, because He has given us everything, and we'll see that detailed in Romans chapter 12, then we are then called to give back our lives to Him. We'll see that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Read with me if you will. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies, your lives to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn and you will know God's will for your life, which is good, and it is pleasing to Him, and it is perfect. So Romans chapter 12 is known as the Great Divide. It is the turning point in the book of Romans. It is the point at which Paul ceases to deal primarily with doctrinal matters, and he turns his attention now to practical application and practical concerns. So the last five chapters, chapters 12 through 16, contain the practical application of the first 11 chapters, verses chapters 1 through 11. So in chapters 1 through 11, Paul lays the groundwork, the foundation, if you will, of the gospel. We are justified, that is, we are made right with God. As a Baptist, what does that mean? We're saved. We are saved by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. We need nothing else. There's nothing to be added. And Paul spends those first 11 chapters just in intricate detail about what the gospel really is. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. The fact that Romans chapter 12 then represents the turning point is evident from many clues. And I don't have time to talk about those many clues. The main indicator is the word therefore. Most of your translations will start out chapter 12, verse 1, by saying therefore. Why? And it is the most significant, therefore, in the book of Romans. Why? Because it refers back to everything that Paul has said to this point. The intricate detail of justification by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. So Romans, and I say this all of the time, and I say this all of the time for two reasons. The first reason I say it all the time is because I'm old and I don't remember what I've said. That's one reason. But another reason that I say all of the time that Romans is the greatest theological work in the history of the world is because I want you to get it. I want you so badly to understand that, to know that in your brain and in your heart, that Romans is the greatest theology in the history of the world. And so the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, I've given you on many occasions the idea of arrows. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. When you read something in the Old Testament and you go, what in the world are they talking about? Just know this, it points to Jesus. It's not just a standalone good lesson for you to learn. No. It points to Jesus as the Savior of the world. Everything in the New Covenant points to Jesus. Everything about the return of Christ, the second coming of Christ, points to Jesus. It all points to Jesus. But another great visual is a funnel. Genesis to Revelation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the very last word is Jesus saying, y'all, chill out. I'm coming back to get you. And everything in between is like this big, huge funnel. And it all funnels down, 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 down to where it gets all the way down to just the little hole that it's going through. It funnels all down to, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, whoever would believe in Him. Whoever would believe in Him would have eternal life. So it all funnels down to the gospel, to the good news. That's what the Bible is all about. And Romans chapters 1 through 11 is Paul's intricate detail of the gospel. And what the gospel really is, what God has done, who He is, what He has given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul then is about to tell the Roman Christians, this is how you should live your life because of that. Because of the gospel, because of the good news. This is how we should live based on that truth. Paul's message is urgent. I plead with you, brothers, sisters in Christ, I beg you, I plead with you, because of God's mercy. God has so blessed us by giving us physical life, eternal life, spiritual life, to promise to guard us and guide us, to pull us and to love us and to take care of us, to give us freedom from the condemnation of our sins. So God has blessed us with so much, then we then in turn, I beg you, give your life back to the Father as a living sacrifice. The first principle, Paul tells us, is self-sacrifice. Be aware of God's mercy. And when you're aware of God's mercy, then you sacrifice your life for the one that has given you life. Now, you don't like hearing that. You don't like hearing that word, sacrifice. And you certainly don't like hearing that word, self-sacrifice. And the reason that I know that you don't like hearing that word is because you're like me. You've grown up in the American culture and we don't like that word. Sacrifice? What? Especially self-sacrifice? Now, every single generation, every single culture has its blind spots to the gospel. The devil has made sure of that. And so it doesn't matter if you're 5th century Spain or if you're 10th century Russia or if you're 21st century America, every single culture, every generation has its blind spots to the gospel. And one of the blind spots that we have to the gospel in modern day American culture is self-sacrifice. Why? Because you and I have been raised in an entitlement culture. Politically, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We've been raised in an entitlement mentality, and an entitlement culture. Somebody owes me something. And then all of a sudden, Paul comes along and says, sacrifice self. Well, I don't want to hear that. I offered this morning in the early worshiping because I love you guys too. I'm going to give you this one for free. This is free. I'm just off. This has nothing to do with the sermon. I'm just going to throw this in for free, okay? The most successful human beings that have ever lived or are living today, the most successful human beings in every way possible. I'm talking about spiritually, I'm talking about emotionally, I'm talking about physically, I'm talking about business, I'm talking about everything politically, I'm talking about everything. The most successful human beings that have walked planet Earth and that are walking planet Earth today are the human beings that have the attitude, nobody owes me anything. The most successful human beings are those who realize nobody owes me nothing. My government doesn't owe me nothing. The Father certainly doesn't owe me anything. Nobody owes me anything. And then all of a sudden, Paul comes along in this entitlement mentality and says, self-sacrifice. Give your lives to God, and let your lives be living and holy sacrifices that is acceptable to Him. The Interpreter's Bible says, sacrifices, of course, were common among the Jews of Paul's day, just as they had been for centuries. The worshiping Jew would bring an animal to the priest, symbolically transfer his guilt to the animal by confessing his sins over it, and then he would kill the animal. The slaughtering of bulls and goats and lambs never actually paid for any Jew's sins. But, this was God's point, but it taught them the principle of substitution and reminded them of the divine promise of a perfect sacrifice that was to come. And He certainly did. And in the course of time, Jesus came as the Lamb of God and He sacrificed Himself for God's people. Paul has taught us in Romans that when we are justified by faith in Christ, we share in His death and in His resurrection. We die to sin. We rise to the newness of life. In other words, we become new creatures in Christ. We should be living lives that reveal appreciation for that grace and for that mercy. Now, this verse ends with a curious phrase. My translation says, this is truly the way to worship Him. Most of your translation will say it this way, for that is your reasonable act of worship. Well, I just mentioned it a minute ago, and I'll say it again. The problem, of course, is this, sin. Sin blinds me to what is reasonable and rational. Now, sin has done that for 2,000 years. Long before Jesus, even 4,000 years. But even since Christ, sin has blinded us to what is truly rational and what is truly reasonable. There's always been a blind spot in every generation and every single culture. Think about this. Now, walk with me through this. What could be more rational? Reasonable. See, sometimes Paul appeals to the heart, to the emotion. Sometimes Paul appeals to the soul. Sometimes Paul appeals to the brain, to the intellect. And that's exactly what he's doing here. He's appealing to our mind, the mindset that we have. What could be more reasonable and rational than to give your life back to the one who has given you physical life in the first place? If you say you believe in God, and we're here this morning, I think that we would all raise our hand and say, yeah, I believe in God. I believe that God is the creator of all things. God created the heavens and the earth, and He's created everything. Therefore, you believe in intelligent design that God created you. Okay. You had nothing to do with it. Zero. Not even 0.001% did you have to do with any of this. God has given it all. 100% God is the creator of your life. You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God the Father. But you're here today because of God, because of His giving you this physical life. So what could be more reasonable, what could be more rational than for you to offer your back to the life back to the one who has given you life in the first place? It goes even deeper. God, because He's the creator of all things, He gets to decide what He wants to do. And God, because God is the creator of this thing called the heavens and the earth, and the creator of all of you and for me, God gets to decide. I, as God the Father, demand perfection. That's what I demand. And nobody in here can give it. None of us. And so God sent His own Son to dress up in this thing called human form. Skin, bones, blood, brain, heart. And His Son came down from heaven, took off His royal robes, and donned on His own self the flesh of humanity. And He walked around with people like me. Sinners. He endured, the perfect, righteous Son of God endured all of the sin of the world and all the darkness and the black sin of the world. And He went to the cross and He died on that cross for your sin and for my sin. Without Jesus and without His substitution on that cross and then going to the tomb, dying and going to the tomb and burying my sin in that tomb with Him, without that life, then I would be doomed to sinner's hell, period. But because of Jesus, because of the one who substituted, who went to the cross in my place, because of Him, I have eternal life. What could be more reasonable than to offer my life back to the one who's given me physical life and who has given me spiritual life? I've done none of this on my own. There's not one bit of that can be said, well, Joel, you did that. No, nothing. All God, all the time. What could be more reasonable than to offer my life back to Him? For all that He's done. Oh, it gets even better. It gets even better. Not only is He giving me physical life, not only has He given me an opportunity to spend eternal life with Him when I can't do that on my own, but then He's also promised, and Joel, I'll make you even another great promise. I promise you, I will walk with you and I will hold your hand. I will love you. I will pull you. I will mold you and shape you into the image of my Son Jesus, who is perfect and has given His life so that you can have life. And I promise I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No matter what you go through in this life, I promise to hold on to you until you join me in this place called eternity. And I promise I'll never, ever, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. What could be more reasonable, rational, than to give my life back to the one who's given me physical life, spiritual life, and has promised to hold my hand and walk with me no matter what I do? It gets even better. It gets even better. And His Son Jesus has walked into the jail cell, removed all of my chains, all of my bonds, bound by the things that bind me. He's removed all that. He's walked over to the door. He's opened the door and He said, go free. You're free. If you want to live for the sin of this world, you're free. Go right ahead. If you want to offer your life back to me as a living sacrifice because of all that I've done for you, you're free, Joel. You're free. You're free from the condemnation of your sin. And I could go on forever. You get the point? What could be more reasonable and rational than to offer my life back to the one who has given me physical life, spiritual life, abundant life, freedom from the condemnation of my sin? Joel, how do you do this? How do you offer your life as a living sacrifice? Don't copy the behavior and the philosophies of this world. But let God transform you, and then you'll know God's will for your life. Don't copy the behaviors. Don't copy the philosophies of this world. What's the behavior and philosophy of this world that I live in? Entitlement. Don't live like that. Live as a sacrifice. So building by faith, purpose, vision, generosity. God through His Son has given us everything. Everything we are, everything we have. We are now His children. We have been called to manage His estate. We are His stewards. We now have a specific vision at First Baptist Church as to how we want to further that estate, the gospel. And the reason we do that is because we're offering our lives back to Him as living sacrifices. Paul says, you are saved by faith through God's grace. Therefore, I beg you, because of God's great mercy, to present your lives as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. For that is the only reasonable and rational thing to do. And then you will know and follow God's will for your life. I gotta admit something. It did me a lot of good because the little boys that were in the early worship were so excited today in Sunday school because their preacher said openly out loud the word stupid twice. Offer your life back to the one who has given you everything. Literally. Everything. The next breath. Everything. Anything other than that would be the third grade boys be stupid. Really. It would just be flat out stupid, wouldn't it? Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the fact that you have given us everything. Everything we are, everything we have. What a great way to end building by faith, to just be able to proclaim the biblical truth that everything we are, everything we have, it's a gift. Now in turn, Paul is correct when he says to the Roman Christians, offer your life back as a living sacrifice. For really, that's the only rational and reasonable thing to do. It really is. Anything other than that is irrational foolishness. So if there's anybody that's here today doesn't know you, Savior and Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation for them. For all of us that know you, Savior and Lord, Father, burn it in our hearts deeper than we've ever had it burned before. The truth claim of the gospel. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is I Offer My Life medley. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you today to do that. If you need to come pray, join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do as we stand, as we sing.